Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Several weeks ago, we spoke to Jason Kander after 60 Minutes did a feature on him and an effort to rescue hundreds of people from Afghanistan and bring them into the United States or to places around the world that were safe for them as they were in danger there. And he is a former Missouri Secretary of State, state representative, Army Reserve intelligence officer, a veteran from Afghanistan, and has been following closely Afghan refugees that have made their way to the state of Missouri and to the United States. And after President Trump has canceled some flights of people who have been vetted to come to the United States, Jason Kander is with us on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Jason. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, I guess.
So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, just your reaction to finding out that President Trump had canceled these flights. And again, these are people who have been vetted over a long period of time.
Well, it's disappointing as someone who, you know, cares about these people, cares, served in Afghanistan. And I genuinely believe that, one, we made promises to these people that if they stood up and risked their lives for the cause of democracy and to fight alongside us, that if things went south, that we would take care of them. And that's a part of why they were able to do that. And so I think from a moral perspective, it is gross and wrong and un-American. And from a strategic perspective, it's just stupid because, you know, in the future, there's going to be other countries where we're going to ask people. I mean, we're doing it now. In Syria, we're doing it in other places, right, where we ask people to stand up alongside us when we have troops in a certain place and risk their lives. And for us to get that kind of fidelity from other people, we have to honor our promises. And this is an example of not doing that.
Jason, just to clarify, have the flights been officially canceled yet, or is there still hope that people can get out up until the 27th, or that the flights that were already scheduled will not be canceled?
Well, there was hope because the executive order is supposed to take effect on the 27th. But last night, the State Department, the now Trump State Department, went ahead and just canceled all the flights. Mm. So the people who thought they were getting out in the next week, despite this order, you know, that they were going to get out before the order, these people are fully vetted. They are people who fought alongside Americans and risked their lives and are in great danger as a result of it. Their flights were canceled, which means a lot of these people probably exposed themselves, came out of hiding first. So it's pretty gross and pretty upsetting.
1,660 Afghans have been cleared, and that's how many people it is affecting right now. And somebody who's listening to this might think, well, you know, these were people who helped us years ago. Why did it take so long for them to be cleared to finally get to the United States? Why weren't they already here?
Well, that's an important question, because the reason for that is that this has been going on. So when this first started in August of 2021, there was obviously a huge airlift at the airport. And then there was a period where hardly anybody was getting out. And that's when my group and I got in total about 2,100 people out, and then began a very slow but steady process of vetting people very thoroughly. And then, now you got to remember, the United States has no diplomatic relations with the Taliban. So this stuff all works through proxies. It works through the nation of Qatar. And once people get their refugee status or their special immigrant visa status, they're able to board flights, usually to Qatar on Qatar Airways. Sometimes they go across to Pakistan. A lot of these people are stranded in Pakistan as well. So they've gone to a bunch of different places. The majority are still in Afghanistan. And the people who are still waiting and the vetting is still ongoing, or was still ongoing, You know, we're talking 15,000 people probably in the country. And so this was happening. It was happening a few hundred a week over the last few years, because that's the speed at which these people could be vetted. But now there's a large amount of people who are vetted and who should be here. These are people who, if the process were to play out normally, they would come here as refugees, and in a year or two, they would get their green card, and then a few years after that, they would be Americans, which means these are really just future Americans who have done more for their country, their future country, than most of the people in this country. And Donald Trump has basically hung them out to dry now.
And Jason, according to the news reports, this group of people immediately impacted by these canceled flights include the families of about 200 U.S. service members. So is that people from Afghanistan who have come to the United States, joined the U.S. military, and then have had family who were still in Afghanistan? Is that how that works?
Yeah, largely so. And you can imagine somebody who, say, served with the U.S. military over there, you can imagine the level of threat that they're under. Now imagine that in most cases that's true of these people, and they have family who are currently in the U.S. military, many of whom may have served over there with the U.S. military. So just imagine the level of, well, I mean, you know, you can step back from that and say, boy, should there be American soldiers who are fully legal Americans, and are members of either American citizens who served in the military, many of them in Afghanistan, who their Afghan family members who are in danger shouldn't be here? Like, it makes no sense.
Jason Kander is with us here on KMOX, former Missouri Secretary of State, veteran from an Afghanistan veteran. And we know that there are a number of Afghan refugees who are here in the state of Missouri, some in St. Louis, in Kansas City as well. Do we know if any of these over 1,600 refugees would have been coming to Missouri, or does that get figured out later?
I don't know, because that's the kind of thing that it's on, like, where they are to be resettled is internal documents that I don't have access to. I mean, I would imagine maybe a few of them would have been. So I don't know the answer to that.
With this, and just because, Jason, it's difficult to comprehend that the United States would cancel these flights after it is so well known how we abandoned our Afghan allies in this situation. So many of Donald Trump's executive orders and his rhetoric was about the southern border and the amount of people crossing the southern border. Was he just making one broad brushstroke with his focus on the southern border, or did he also specifically single out those who were trying to come here from Afghanistan?
Well, it's worse. What he did is he suspended entirely the United States refugee program, which means if you are somebody who has been vetted and has been working to try and get your refugee status to come here, maybe you're currently in a third country, you can't return safely to your country, and the United States has been in the process of figuring out whether to let you in, that is stopped. That is not happening, no matter where you come from in the world. That is not happening now, which is fundamentally un-American. Like, you know, if you go back far enough in any of our family trees, other than for Native Americans or for people who were brought here on slave ships, everybody else came here at some point either to find a better future or because they couldn't be where they were from anymore. That's what this country is. And it's the idea that they would lump their, I think, misguided idea about immigration, where they just say, well, we're overrun. Okay, fine. Even if you accept that for a minute, you say, oh, we're overrun with migrants. Okay. If you were to stipulate to that for a minute, the amount of people who come here as refugees is negligible compared to that. But they are people who, in most cases, have done something really heroic to get here. These are good people who deserve to be here. And he's shut it down from all over the world, which, you know, look, if you just look at the numbers, like 89% of Americans support keeping our promises to Afghan allies, which includes 87% of Republicans and 92% of Democrats. So if more people know about this, I'm hopeful that maybe they will back off on this terrible decision, at least with regard to Afghan refugees.
So these flights were already done and ready to go. If they did decide to reinstate the flights. Does it? Is there a lot of machinery, a lot of moving parts that have to get going in order to make this happen again? Like, how much of a delay would it be if they decided to back off on this?
Well, the problem is that, I mean, look, all you have to do is a lot of those people are still in place who run these operations. Like, they haven't effectively been able to go through and clean out all the people they don't deem loyalists, right? So it would just be a matter of saying to the, you know, coordination for Afghan relocation efforts and those offices, just say, no, go back to what you were doing. So that wouldn't take hardly anything. But over a period of time, you know, if this is suspended for a long period of time, which it appears it's going to be, and then the Trump administration goes and puts a bunch of new people into all of those offices, which is what they've stated they're going to do, then what you're going to have is, if we are successful in convincing them to restart the program, you're going to have the program being run by a bunch of people who weren't there when the program was working. And I don't care whether it's refugees or, you know, making the trains run on time. That's usually not a recipe for success.
Trump's own national security advisor, Mike Walls, heavily criticized Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan. And he also criticized him over the, quote, the thousands of allies we abandoned and made unkept promises of security for their safety to get the accountability they deserve, when talking about us abandoning Afghan allies. So that was Trump's national security advisor in 2022. Is he now in favor of further abandoning them?
I hope not. I truly hope that he's an advocate for humanity on the inside. And I want to be clear, like, a lot of, like, what happened with the Biden administration in the early going of you know, the Afghan withdrawal, I was extremely critical of. And in fact, it's pretty well known now that I worked around the Biden administration. I didn't work with them. I did things in defiance of the Biden administration. A lot of us did. But giving credit where it's due, after a period of time, the Biden administration did put in place a pathway for people to become vetted and to get on flights and to get here. They did finally do that. Did it go as fast as I wanted it to go? No, but they were doing it and they were continuing to do it. And so for Trump to run an entire campaign where he talks about the shamefulness of the way Biden handled Afghanistan, and then to come in and say, we're ending the entire program to bring Afghan allies here, and we're completely deserting these people and leaving them to die. I mean, we're talking about people who were judges, prosecutors, you know, folks who stood up and were interpreters and fought alongside us. And by the way, it's a 20-year war, so we're also talking about their families who are under threat as a result. So if you stood up and you were an interpreter for the United States military, let's say you were an interpreter in 2012, well, there's a pretty good chance that you have like an 8-year-old son or daughter now who's also in danger. And we should be bringing that entire family here, because there is no reason for little girls and little boys to be under threat of being killed by the Taliban because their father or mother did the right thing when we asked them to.
Jason Kander, we certainly appreciate your time. We know you are busy, and I know this is a tough day for you because of how close you've been to this situation and how many Afghan families you have helped yourself in trying to get out of harm's way. So thank you so much for your time today. And I know we're going to follow up with you on this because it is a very big story.
Well, I appreciate it. Let me just leave you with this. Is people listening, what they can do is call your representatives, call your senators. Doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. There's no reason for this to be a partisan issue. And just let them know that you actually do care about people who stood up and served alongside Americans and kept people like me and other veterans that you know safe.
Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Jason Kander, former Missouri Secretary of State, an Afghan vet as well. So, that's rough, man. It's disappointing.
I can't imagine how devastated, not just devastated, being abandoned by the U.S. in Afghanistan, but then terrified.
Look,
that the Taliban knows who you are now.
I would say that if you were upset with the way Joe Biden handled the pullout of Afghanistan, you better be upset about this, too. There's no difference. That's Amy Marks Corps. I'm Chris Ranji. This is KMOX.